All right, we're coming up at 8:50. We should be hearing from the coach at any minute. Nick Sirianni is brought to you by Bud Light. Join Ava Graham at the Boathouse in Conchi. That's Friday night for the next Bud Light Eagles pep rally. Win Eagles tickets, meet Eagles players, and win signed merchandise. Ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of the Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Angela.
Nick, how disappointed were you in that loss?
Oh, shoot. Any loss that you have, you're going to be disappointed, and especially when you don't feel like you played your best. And gave opportunities to a good football team. It's hard to win when you give opportunities to a good football team.
What was the number one reason you lost that game, Nick?
I think it always comes down to protecting the football. So when you have turnovers, those are detrimental. And so, there's turnovers, there's third down defense. So it's a little bit of everything. It's coaching. Right, so it's all those things, because the turnovers happen, the third down defense happens. It starts with us as coaches and about putting them in the right position, and then also, teaching the detail of how to do the things we're asking them to do. And then I know there's plays that the players are going to want back, but you can't turn the ball over four times in this. The parity in this league is way, way too tight to turn the ball over four times. You saw that. We turned it over four times against Washington, and the outcome was the same. So, the silver lining, if there is any, is the fact that we know, what it takes to beat us. And some of that self-inflicted wounds. Now, again, you got to give them credit, because they also created the turnovers. But, we got to be better with our fundamentals and not give Dallas a short field.
Nick, we're totally in agreement on the turnovers being a big factor. I'm struggling with understanding why you're forcing the ball into Quez Watkins for two of these interceptions when you're not even involving Dallas Goedert in the second half of the game. Could you help us understand that?
Yeah, the defense doesn't just aimlessly throw the ball into coverage if the defense doesn't allow it. There's things that happen this isn't Madden football where you can just say, hey, I'm going to throw it to this guy, right? The defense dictates where the ball goes at times. And in those particular cases, it did. And Quez had a play that he's going to want back. The first one to me is not Quez's fault at all. It's a great play by that guy. Ball was over to the left a little bit, and the guy made the play, and Quez didn't. The second one, Quez is going to want that one back. And so we have a lot of confidence in Quez. I think somebody asked me a question yesterday. He had one in Chicago that was thrown to him as well, and that's just not. And I thought about it for a second. I go, I don't know what play you're actually talking about. That was a play that got kind of caught up in the wind, was actually going to AJ. So, there's some people that can just look at stats and say, well, this is what happened when we threw it to this guy. And that's somebody that's not knowledgeable in the game and doesn't quite understand that, not every play is the same. So, again, Quez has made a lot of plays here, and we're going to need Quez to have a good game next week, and we're going to need him to have good games in the playoffs if we want to be the offense that we think we can be. And so, again, we threw for 360 yards, and so Dallas was a big part of that. Obviously, Devontae and AJ were a big part of that, and Gardner was a big part of that.
Nick, for 28 minutes, you didn't throw the ball to Dallas Goedert, and we don't understand. I know that the defense dictates it, but Nick, you find a way to get to A.J. Brown. You find a way to get Devontae Smith, even when they're double covered. How do you just ignore a guy that's been such an integral part of your your offense for 28 minutes?
Yeah, again, I don't think the issue was Dallas not getting the ball. He had 67 yards, I believe.
Three
catches.
And we threw
for 355 yards. So I don't believe that was the issue of what happened. Is Dallas always going to – we always want to get Dallas the ball, of course, but you'll get Dallas the ball, and then A.J. gets one less touch. You get Dallas the ball, and then Devontae gets – it's the way the game goes. I think the same thing could have been said in the Detroit game when Devontae didn't – we threw for 300-plus yards, and Devontae didn't have a catch. So it's just the way the game goes sometimes, and Dallas is a great player, and he'll continue to be the focal point of this pass game, and we'll try to keep getting him the ball.
All right, now, Nick, you addressed at some length yesterday the stat from New Gen Statistics, 24 for 24, 300 yards, Prescott against the zone. And I know that a lot of times the zones are various, different variations. But in this age of analytics, Are you aware of that number as it's happening? Do you realize how effective Dak is against that zone?
Again, like when you play, it's easy to look at stats and look at it and say, here's what happened on that. But again, every zone is different, and there's zones that there's four different types of cover three in our mind. Like there's a zone match cover three. There is a zone drop cover three. There's a 60-40 safety, which I'm not going to try to get into of what that means, cover type of cover three. There is, and there's a drive safety type cover three. Like, there's all these different versions of cover three, and some of them play like man and some of them play like zone. So to say that it's just strictly zone is not a fair assessment. Again, like, and the other answer is just don't play man every single play, because if you play man, we played against teams that played man every single play, and you know exactly what to do to call to beat them. Like, there's a lot of different issues more so than just the call of, hey, that it was zone, because again, all zones look different. And so we got to play better. We got to coach better. And sometimes coaching better isn't just, hey, call a better play. That's not the case. And that's not how I was brought up. Coaching better is, hey, we got to put them in the best position to make plays. And then we got to teach them every little detail there is to help them make their job, do their job right. We call it job description. Paint the job description perfectly so they know how to do their job right. So there were things in that game where, to me, that one, yes, the players have to make plays in certain scenarios, but then we have to do better in the job description of how to make the play. Again, to look at the stats and just say all zones are created equal, that's just not true.
All right, well, Nick, put aside whether you're in a zone or a man or whatever coverage you're in. With Jonathan Gannon as your defensive coordinator, four games against the Cowboys, the Cowboys are averaging 37 points a game. Is that a concern to you?
No, I got a ton of faith in Jonathan Gannon. He keeps answering the bell of you know, I know there's scrutiny on him, especially on your show, of if he's a good coordinator or not. And he is most definitely a great coordinator who's giving us a chance to helping us develop the defense. We got good players, and he's a great coordinator. And I stand on the table for him, and I'm convicted in Jonathan Gannon. And I know how good of a football coach he is. I know how high of a demand he'll be this offseason. I know how high of a demand he was when we got him here as a coach. And I love him, and he's gonna. I know he'll rebound from a tough game that we had as a defense and we had as an offense. We will completely as a team rebound from this.
Nick, third and 30. I think we'll probably remember the game for that. And I know there was a lot of breakdowns on the play. But when you look back at it now, what sticks out to you is how did we not make that play?
Yeah, so we're in a cover two zone defense right there. And so what happens there on that one is you got a guy, Slay's responsible for the flat, all right, and then Josiah is responsible for the deep half. And, you know, obviously, first of all, they maxed up their protection, made it hard for us to get home on that one. And, you know, they Dak threw probably a perfect ball. T.Y. Hilton probably made the perfect catch. And we didn't make the play. Again, why didn't we make the play? Well, first of all, Josiah has to make that play in that scenario. Yeah, no doubt. We're going to all want plays back from that game. I want plays back from that game. There were things that I came out of there saying that wasn't good enough coaching. I said that a lot, you know, and Josiah is going to want that play back. But then again, I go back to we got to teach the guys exactly what the job description is and how to accomplish that play. So it's always going to be – we're always all in this thing together. When our guys don't make a play, you know, we take that hard in the sense of, you know, did we prepare him everything we needed to prepare him to make that play? So when you're going through a game and going through a season like that, lockstep, you know, arm in arm going through it like that, that's what builds teams and that's what bonds teams because, you know, you're all in it together. You know, we all wish we would have had that play back. Who knows what would have happened from that play, but not one play ever defines what happens in a game. There's a lot of things that happen in a game that define it.
Nick, weren't you his position coach, T.Y. Hilton's position coach in Indianapolis?
I was his coordinator. Kevin Petullo was his position coach, though.
All right, I blame you then. You taught him too well, Nick.
Hey, T.Y. has always been a really good player. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with T.Y. He's always been a really good player in this league. He catches the ball really well.
All right. Minshew obviously played very well. He had over 350 passing yards, and now you got a very big game Sunday in New Orleans. Can you take us into your thinking of how you determine who's your starting quarterback?
That's always going to be Jalen's obviously our starting quarterback if he's healthy to go. We got a lot of faith in Gardner that he makes great decisions with the football. Excuse me, he's accurate with the football and he's gonna play a good game if he's in there. But if Jalen's ready to go, he'll play. It's just a matter. Jalen's a warrior and he's gonna want to go no matter what. And so we have to be the ones that make the decision if he's healthy. You know, Jalen's obviously it's his body, so he's obviously gonna talk to us and say how he's feeling and everything like that. But then from the next step, we also got to go in there and say, hey, is this the right thing to do? Is he feeling – can he create more damage? Can this set him back? There's so many questions to answer. And obviously, we got time to go through that and see what the best thing is for Jalen and this football team. But Jalen's health always is going to come first. Every one of our players' health is always going to come first when you're deciding if a guy is going to go back out in the field.
But, Nick, if it was entirely his decision, would he have tried to play on Christmas Eve?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, hell yeah.
I know he's going to try to play on Sunday.
Angelo, this guy is one of the toughest guys I've ever been around. And you know, Jason Kelce, obviously, we got so many tough guys on this team. And he is one of the toughest guys I've ever been around. And, you know, he played through anything. What he did, I just keep going back to that Chicago game, what he did to finish that game under the circumstances that he was in was, you know, I said to somebody, that was Michael Jordan type stuff, you know, where, you know, that's the flu game type stuff. That's like, it was Michael Jordan type stuff, what he did to finish that game and to go down and to help us win that football game. I heard like one of your commercials when I was waiting on the phone for you, and when you said something about, because Jalen squats 3 Tuas, he should be the MVP. No, because Jalen is the player that he is and did the things that he did in that Chicago game, that's why I think he's that league MVP.
Without a doubt. Last thing, I'm just curious, were you able to get past the loss and enjoy the holiday?
Yeah, that's always a tough thing. You know, you go home, and something keeps bringing you back, you know, to the loss, but you know, obviously I love my family and I got a great family, and so to see them open up gifts and waiting for Santa Claus and the joy of, you know, just the season of Christmas was, I was able to, obviously things kept bringing me back and I kept watching the game over and over again, like maybe when my son was playing his new Madden game, I might have taken a peek at our game multiple times, but yeah, you know what? Christmas is obviously a special time. It's always been a special holiday in the Sirianni household, and we were able to at least have some good moments in that day, but also have a little bit of a bad taste in our mouth.
Hey, Nick, all I know is this. You know what we want for New Year's Day, don't you?
Of course. Of course. Same thing I want.
I love it. Nick, thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Good luck
Thanks,
Sunday,
Angel.
Nick. Thanks.
Right,
Nick Sirianni with some interesting insights into what was going on there.